Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Ash Wednesday is supposed to be the most solemn day of the church year. So I debated with myself a little bit whether or not to start the sermon with a story that I thought was humorous, but it seemed to fit the point pretty well, so we'll do that. There was a woman driving along, pulled over by the police. The policeman asked her for her license and registration, as they always do. She gave them to the officer. He went back to his patrol car. A few minutes later, walked back up to her, handed her license and registration, and said, "You can go." And she said, "Why did you pull me over?" He said, "Well, about a mile back there, I saw someone cut you off. And I could see that you were waving your arms and yelling and made an obscene gesture. And then I saw that on the back of your car, there was a fish emblem and a honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker. So naturally, I assumed that this was a stolen car." Our actions, much more than what emblems we display, much more even than the things that we say, tell the world who we are and what we believe. A term I had never heard before the COVID epidemic was virtue signaling. Are you familiar with it? The dictionary defines virtue signaling as the sharing of one's point of view on a social or political issue, often on social media, in order to garner praise or acknowledgement of one's righteousness from others who share the same point of view, or to passively rebuke those who do not. Not everyone with a fish emblem or a Christian bumper sticker is a virtue signaler, but maybe some are. What are some examples of virtue signaling? During the pandemic, back when masks were required everywhere and there was social distancing, on the internet there was a photograph of a very well-known person. He was walking on the beach all alone wearing his mask. Nobody else was around. The photo went viral. Now, of course, wearing a mask when no one else is around isn't going to help anything, but his handlers saw to it that the photograph got lots and lots of attention to show what a caring, compassionate person this was. Something that started several years ago before the pandemic was the wearing of ribbons. Now, it started off small and it started off very sincere. I wore a few ribbons in my day. You could wear a yellow ribbon to mean that you were waiting for our troops to come home. Or you could wear a blue ribbon to mean that you were supporting the police. Or you could wear a pink ribbon to raise the awareness of cancer. That was all good until some people started wearing so many ribbons, it looked like the medals on the chest of a five-star general. How many dozens of causes can a person be singly minded devoted to all at one time? When football players started wearing pink cleats and baseball players started swinging pink bats, I think they weren't saying, "Let's make you aware of this cause." I think they were saying, "Let me make you aware of how aware I am and how noble I am." There's a difference between promoting a cause and promoting ourselves. Not surprisingly, hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing another, often goes hand in hand with virtue signaling. During a stretch of the pandemic, it seemed that every day there was a picture of a politician or a celebrity who had backed mask mandates found in public without a mask. Then there's those events that talk about how to decrease our carbon footprint. People fly to them in private jets, which have a huge carbon footprint. Now, a hypocrite may occasionally speak the truth, But when the actions don't match the words, people are going to distrust them no matter what they say, no matter what they do. In the time that Jesus walked the earth, the Pharisees were the epitome of hypocrisy and virtue signaling. In today's gospel reading, Jesus talks about the hypocrites, and he means the Pharisees, or at least some of them. One translation calls them the show-offs, and that's not too bad a rendering of the word. These are the people who draw attention to themselves when they give to charity, or when they fast, or when they pray. Hey, look at me. What a spiritual person I am. You could be like me if only you were better. Jesus says that if attention is all the reward they're looking for, that is all the reward they're going to get. Jesus' words create a bit of a dilemma for us, especially in Lent and especially on Ash Wednesday. Helping others, praying, fasting are spiritual disciplines, and they are all good things for us to do during Lent. They are things that we emphasize. But Jesus tells us not to draw attention to ourselves, though, when we do them. Still, we do want someone to notice them as a witness to Christ. Knowing that Christians are moved by Christ to help others, that glorifies Christ. On Ash Wednesday, we wear ashes on our forehead as a sign of our repentance and our humility. But we know that some people are going to think that we're just showing how devout and pious we are. Maybe the ash wearing for some people is virtue signaling. And maybe they do think that they're better than others. But we know that no one is better than anyone else. Christ tells us that we are all sinners. We have no right to rebuke or judge anybody. None of us have totally pure motives. We don't give enough to the poor, we don't pray enough, and fasting, forget about it. So, is there any hope for us? Can we be saved from our sins? St. Paul answered that in the epistle reading tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For our sakes, it made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let's break down what that means. Jesus was perfect. He did not sin. Christ felt all of the same temptations that we had. He had all the same opportunities to transgress God's law that we do, but he didn't fall. For our sake, that is, for our benefit, for our salvation, he, that is God the Father, made him, that is God the Son, to be sin. That means God laid on Christ the transgressions of us all. Jesus became the very embodiment of the sin of all the world. On the cross, Jesus was sin, and God poured out all of his wrath on sin, his son Jesus, even though, as we said, he knew no sin, even though Christ never himself sinned. So that in him, meaning that being in Christ, being a baptized Christian, being part of the church, being fed on Jesus' body and blood, we might become the righteousness of God. What does it mean for us to be the righteousness of God? It doesn't mean we become perfect. We are baptized, and yet we sin. We receive Holy Communion, and yet we sin. I can even sin while consecrating communion. It doesn't mean that God gives us just a little push and we do the rest of the work of ourselves to be good people, good enough to earn God's salvation. The admission price for a ticket to heaven is perfection, and none of us can afford that. We have no virtue to signal at all. What happens is that God covers us with his righteousness. We're guilty, but he pardons us. We're hostages, but he pays the ransom. For Jesus' sake, God looks at us as if we had never sinned at all, and opens the doors of paradise to us as if we belong there, which we don't, but then again, which we do, because of God's righteousness, not our virtue, nothing of our own. It's a sad fact that we often find joy in the things that we should be ashamed of. But Christ has used even our shame. He has put our shame on his shoulders and used it as an occasion for joy. Joy in the life of Christ. How do we live then? Well, even though it's Lent, we live joyfully, knowing that we one day are going to our heavenly home. But we also live at all times repentantly, always turning back to Christ for forgiveness and turning away from our sins. And we live humbly, humbly giving thanks to God in worship and praise, and humbly serving our neighbors as God wills us to do in Lent and always. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.